Now we've got a closer look at prosperity gospel with Reverend Stephen Epps. He's a professor of religion and philosophy at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn. Glad to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
So, Professor, let's listen to a little bit of Creflo Dollar talking about God and money.
Sure.
See, it's easy for a person to sit back who ain't never been there. It's easy for you to say that God don't want you rich, but for some folks, God is the only way out of their lack poverty situation, and he is a father that wants you whole in every area of your life, but he also wants you to have money in your pocketbook so you can have authority in this world.
That's compelling, no doubt. What's wrong with it, if anything?
Well, if we can sort of unmuddy the waters for your listeners, the prosperity gospel posits that financial and material wealth is perhaps an external sign that God's favor and grace is on the believer's life. In the theological world, that does raise some eyebrows because the question is then, for what reason do we worship and praise God? And I never forget that Roger Lestrange said, he who serves God for money will serve the devil for better wages. So it seems to me that the prosperity gospel is ultimately trying to figure out, is God, to what degree is God complicit in the success and failure of my life? And that's a very important question to ask theologically. And I don't know if there's anything necessarily wrong with that particular discussion. But I would add that it does have tremendous potential because it does put financial and economic issues in the mix of the theological discussion. And that's very important. And it's very different from the civil rights movement that particularly dealt with socio-political issues disconnected from financial and economic matters. So it has tremendous potential.
Now, tithes and offerings are common practices, not just in churches, but in synagogues, mosques, you know, any number of places of worship. What's the difference between a tithe and what some people are looking at as potential giving that goes straight into the pockets of the minister?
Well, again, as Mr. Williams discussed, one could make a viable argument in saying that this is a matter of faith, tithing and giving above the tithe, even if it goes into the minister's pocket. See, what's really at stake is two questions. To what degree, whenever you're talking about church-state relations, to what degree do I abdicate my rights as a citizen when I'm exercising my faith, even as it pertains to my giving and giving for large homes, mansions, yachts? To what degree do I abdicate my citizenship when I am a part of a parish ministry as a parishioner? And I think, I don't know necessarily if we can answer that question from an outside point of view. It's really up to the individual to hold the preacher or the pastor or the parish ministry that he or she is a member accountable to where the money is going and the expenditures of that money.
Are you saying then that there should be no, because part of this is tax law, and that there should be no hand of the government in saying, well, you know, okay, you are asking people for this extraordinary amount of money. You're saying that you deserve a tax-exempt status because it's going to the religious good, but if it's going into your pocket. And let me just frame this around some interviews that Creflo Dollar has given. Minister Creflo Dollar, who heads the World Changers Church International in Atlanta, the mm-hmm. Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported in 2006 his church took in $69 million. And he says in interviews that he's got plenty of investments and book deals that get him individual money, but the church did buy him a Rolls Royce that he uses for official functions. How do you parse out the difference between that individual money and the money that is being given to the church, given that the church itself has a tax-exempt status, which relies on a certain construction of where that money's going?
Well, that's a difficult question, and I would respond by using the words of Tertullian, who says that the image of Caesar is money, the image of God is man. Give money to Caesar, give yourself to God. If, in fact, that these churches, these mega churches or the pastors owe money to the government, then the government should employ every reasonable and responsible and legal effort to retrieve the money. But if the Senate, and I agree with Kenneth Copeland that that's an IRS issue, but if the Senate Finance Committee is going to reconsider whether or not the churches who have amassed tremendous resources should be tax exempt, then that's going to be a difficult argument for them to make, particularly in America, when the wealthiest of Americans and corporations are given every single opportunity to exploit tax loopholes, receive tax incentives, tax benefits, and the like. So I would certainly say that the government really, in this particular matter, doesn't have any moral authority or moral indignation, considering that billions of dollars go unaccounted for at the federal level due to waste, pork barrel spending, and bureaucratic incompetence. So I would use the words of Jesus here as it pertains to the government in this matter. You know, before you try to get the toothpick out of your brother's eye, you should get the plank out of your own.
Well, Professor Epps, thank you so much.
Thank you kindly.
Professor Stephen Epps is a professor of religion and philosophy at Medgar Evers College in Brooklyn, New York. He joined us from our New York studios.